Today is the 16th of April, waiting for the end of winter, 2019. We're visiting with Sarah Elgin Service, and Sarah, maybe we could get started. You could give me a little background on, well, let's go back, you know, as far as your recollections, as far as family and school, grade school, and we can work from there. What are some of your memories?
Sure. So I went, I went to school at Farley Bankston, and for kindergarten through eighth grade. And the best part about that was the partnership that they had with the junior high. Okay. Right. So even though we went to this super small Catholic school, we got to go over to Western Dubuque for the band. I got to play volleyball. I got to participate in track. We got to play softball, so I got to do a lot of things, even though we were at the Catholic school in Farley.
Right.
And they let us walk. Like I think about that today, and I think, do they still let 6th, 7th, and 8th graders walk from Seton over to the middle school?
That's not happening today.
But that's what I mean. I was explaining to my kids, because we just moved back here, I was explaining that. We would drive by Seton. I'm like, I went to school here, but then they let us walk as a group by ourselves, carrying musical instruments in the middle of the day.
In the wintertime.
Yeah. And they let us walk over to the junior high, do our band lesson in the middle of the day, and then they trusted us to walk back. And we never even thought of doing anything outside of that, right?
Sure. Who are some of your teachers that you remember?
I had Mrs. Welter for band. I had, what was his name? He just passed away. The other band instructor, Mr. I can't remember. But he came over to Seton to give us individual lessons for the band.
What was your instrument?
I played the flute, and then in high school, I also played the piccolo.
Okay.
So, yeah, they came over and we did individual lessons too. And those were the only teachers I had in junior high. And
how about your parochial teachers?
Mrs. Hamill was my favorite. I had Sister Ann in first or second grade. Mrs. Kleesner in third grade.
Sister Ann, I just saw her.
Oh, did you?
We went to Mass at the presentation.
Okay.
I've been a couple weeks ago. She was there.
Was she?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, that was fun. Then we got to play, you know, we had basketball there at Farley Bankston. And and Mrs. Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And her for fourth grade. Those were, and then the Palmers, Mr. Palmer, I think, was our basketball coach.
Okay.
Jeff Palmer's dad.
Sure.
So, yeah, but we only had 16 in our 8th grade class.
Okay.
And then you'd get to go over to Western Dubuque where there was...
Is that kind of scary to make that transition then?
No, because my dad taught at the high school.
Right.
And so there were times when I would get off at the high school and ride home with him. So I was familiar with the building.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the small Catholic schools... We were all friends anyway, so I knew the kids that went to EPP, that went to Epworth, Piasta Placid, right? So I knew Robin Kramer and Sarah Nauman because we played basketball together, and they also got to play volleyball at Western Dubuque. So I knew a fair amount of people going into, plus I had met them in band and I played volleyball with them, so I already had I knew some people, and quite frankly, I couldn't wait to be in a bigger group. The 16 people was not a good fit for me. I needed to be in a larger class. So the transition was easy because I knew my dad was going to be there, and I already knew all of his friends. So I knew Mr. Corbin, I knew Mr. Dankert, I knew Mr. Smith, all the cohorts that my dad kind of hung out with. So,
How about, so you got involved obviously in activities right away in sports when you got into the ninth grade?
Yeah, well, our parents always had an agreement that if you did extracurricular activities, you didn't have to have a job.
Okay.
So, because we lived on a farm. So we already had chores and work to do.
Right.
But yeah, I got into everything that I could possibly get into so that I wouldn't have to be home on the farm.
Okay.
So I jumped into volleyball, basketball. My dad made me do track, and I'm glad he made me do that because it ended up being a fun, challenging sport that was good for everything else. And then I did softball in the summer. So I was in sports year round, got into student council, I was still in the band, did the band for all 4 years of high school as well. did National Honor Society. I just did everything that I had time for.
How much about some of your coaches that you connected with?
So Coach Van Cleve and Coach Benteen volleyball, Coach Sass. I had Coach Demmer, Coach Finley. Now, I did not have Coach Finley because I went from a freshman to varsity, so I did not play on the sophomore team.
Okay.
But I saw Finley was helped out all the time. Coach Bell, Cindy Bell.
Yep.
Had her. Hermie and Ross for track.
Yeah.
And then had Coach Till for softball for 5 years. So.
How did you play position-wise in softball?
Softball, I started out in center field and as a freshman, and then I ended up at first base as a junior and senior. So
yeah, I interviewed Coach Till maybe last year, possibly.
Okay.
Interesting, because to me, I admired what he did. He basically built a program, a softball program. There was nothing there before. We offered it, but.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have, first thing was you had a pitcher for sure. And so he developed some pitchers.
Yeah, we had really good pitchers. We had Angie Dardis.
Yeah.
Molly Meinert.
Yeah.
Those were the two main ones that I played with.
So he told me that, he continued until he retired. And he was still interested in coaching. So there were some openings at the college level in Dubuque.
Mm.
And he would have been interested,
mm-hmm.
especially at Loras. And he told me that what happened was he apparently tried to get an interview for the position. And in the meantime, his brother, oldest brother Dan, he was a doctor of some sort, well-connected in mm-hmm. Omaha. And he was always graduated from Loras. He said, boy, if you get that job, he says, I'm going to donate $1 million to Loras. Don never got an interview.
Oh, wow.
Dan said, okay, enough of that. And he gave that money to the Presentation Nuns.
Wow.
So anyway, that was interesting. I never knew that, of course, before. So.
That's funny. Yeah, he invented the Susie play.
Right.
That ended up being, I think, outlawed.
It was outlawed.
In high school softball because of its nature, right? It was a deceptive play at second base.
It worked like
and
a charm.
It did, and we used it. And I remember after the one time we tried it against Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and they had watched us do it before.
Oh.
And so they knew what was coming, and they were the only team I remember who was not fooled by the Susie play. I think we had fooled them one other time prior to that, and then they figured it out. But
I remember that was Larry Niemeyer's team. He was kind of legendary.
Yeah. Yep.
Coach.
Yep.
So anyway, how about basketball then?
Basketball was fun. So we had Coach Bell was great. Coach Demmer was there because he had taken over from. Hafer, I think.
Right.
And and I was there for 3 years, so I got to play with the triplets and.
I just saw that.
It was fun.
I just saw one of them.
Yeah.
Down in Florida at Bill Shuler's.
Oh, okay.
Connie Shuler's.
Yeah.
One afternoon, and I still can't tell them apart.
Really?
So.
That's funny. Yeah, I got to play basketball and softball with them, so
yeah.
I got to know them pretty well.
So that was about some of your other teachers that you recall going through high school.
So I had Miss Tyson for English.
Right.
She's pretty legendary. Mr. Musil was awesome for anatomy, physiology.
Okay.
I enjoyed him. I remember asking Mr. Wolf in, I think, geometry, why we were learning geometry and how it related to actual life skills. And he did a really good job. I remember he did a really good job of answering it. I enjoyed him. I had my dad for two classes, so right. That was fun. And I just still enjoy watching him because he still teaches at Beckman.
Right.
The psychology class, just how passionate he is about psychology and making it real. He still goes and tours funeral homes to talk about death and dying and still shows Sybil and, you know, some of the same teaching things, and goes in early to be available for students. And I think that was the coolest part about Western Dubuque, because I felt any teacher would help me if I needed it or if I asked them for it. So I never felt like I couldn't ask for help or go in to ask a question. I enjoyed Miss Altus in Spanish. I had her for I feel like all 4 years, maybe.
You know, it's that was pretty reflective of what a great staff that was. I mean, putting together those people. Mr. Drexler, when he hired people, he did not basically look for somebody with a new teacher, let's say, with no experience, because they would have a lower salary. He looked for the best that he could, and he did a pretty good job.
No, I agree. Yeah, I had Miss Olson. I remember her, and she had red glasses or different colored glasses all the time. But she was, I still do grammar, and I remember her in my head just about how when I proofread my own stuff or other people's stuff. And there wasn't a teacher I didn't like.
How about some? Yeah, remember some funny stuff that happened? Maybe bus trips or.
Well, we got to go to President Clinton's second inaugural parade for the band, and stuffing a bunch of high schoolers on charter buses and watching everyone figure out and try every position possible to be comfortable, whether that was on the floor underneath the seat or in the aisle or...
Yeah, that was before cell phones and video monitors.
Yeah, we just had to learn how to hang out with each other. Now, we probably had like a CD disc man or something or a tape player maybe, but...
Yeah,
we just, you know, we'd sing songs or play games or...
Right.
But that was fun that we got to be a part of that, and it was in January, so I remember we would practice marching in the streets of Epworth through all of December and January to get used to playing in the cold.
Yeah.
And that it could snow and, you know, figuring out how to make that still work.
Now, there's speaking of legendary people, Mr. Schmitz was...
Oh, yeah.
I was very disappointed because they built a new addition... the new gym, and they also built a wing for music, band room, vocal, and I wanted to get the whole music area named in his memory.
For sure.
And I pursued that, and for some reason, the administration was terrified of doing this.
Oh, really?
I don't know what their philosophy was or what they were afraid that this would continue or other place. I don't know. I know they did it in Dubuque.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we finally did was I was able to get a plaque, memento plaque, and name the band room after him.
Yeah.
You know, put it on the wall.
Sure. Because kind of I think he started the light show. I mean, he had the... And our version of field marching was just doing a bunch of pinwheels. I mean, we weren't doing anything fancy like you see on, you know, the Ohio State band or anything doing. But, I remember putting glow sticks on our instruments and flashing light visors on our hats. And that was fun.
That was always the big concern of Coach Kilberg. was the fact that the band would go up there and practice and stomp on the field and kill the grass. This went on for years. And anyway, obviously, that was not a problem.
Right, right.
But
that's funny.
So anyway, you graduated in...
In 95.
Mm-hmm. And from that point, what were your choices and what'd you do? And
well, I was blessed enough to get a scholarship to play basketball at Missouri Western, just north of Kansas City in St. Joseph. It was a D2 school. I wanted to play for Coach Dave Slifer. He had been at Mount Mercy for a really long time. And then I was going to go play there at Mount Mercy. And then he left, and so I looked at something else, and then he just called me up and said, hey, I have a scholarship left. Do you want to come play? So then I went to school down there for 4 years and graduated with a degree in psychology, and then went out to Phoenix and got a master's degree in psychology.
Okay.
And then spent, you know, 10 years out in Phoenix before moving back to the Midwest.
What were your areas that you worked with in the Phoenix area?
Oh, geez, I did everything because I just enjoyed being in warm weather year-round.
Okay.
I wasn't as focused on a career, but I did some personal training. I got into real estate. I flipped homes. I had my realtor's license. Started a debt settlement company. Worked for the city of Phoenix, was in charge of an exchange program for their sister cities around the world for juniors in high school.
Wow, you did a lot of stuff.
That was kind of fun. And ended up selling software, which got me into technology sales, which is what I'm in today.
Okay.
So.
You mentioned those different things you're in. Jill, our oldest, she is in Elmhurst around Chicago, and mm-hmm. She got her degree in social work and was in that. But she also, in 2012, she started her fitness company with a partner.
Oh, okay.
And she has done that she did that for about 6 years. Sold out to her partner, and she's in real estate. So
nice.
Yeah, so she's working in that. And what prompted you to move back from Phoenix?
Well, I wanted to be closer to home, but I didn't want to live in Iowa. Because when I graduated from high school, I said there was no way I would ever live in Iowa again.
Oh, okay.
So then my parents were getting older, my grandparents were getting older, and I just matured, right? And was like, I don't want to raise a family here. I grew up on a farm, and you don't appreciate it in the moment, yeah. But as you get older, you're like, you know, values were actually pretty cool, and I still enjoyed going back to the farm. So I chose to move to Indianapolis and was there for 8 years.
Okay.
And then got married and had kids there, and then realized that, I was actually not so bad. Because my village is here, right? My parents are here. My brothers both live here. All of my aunts are here. The majority of my cousins still live in this area. And I wanted my kids to be around that. And so we chose to move here a year ago now. It'll be a year next week that we actually moved back to Dubuque County. So, but yeah, we just love it here. And, you know, we have kids in the high school who love it. I mean, the staff there has just embraced them with arms wide open, and they've never felt more at home so quickly than I never would have anticipated that they would have, I guess, found their groove so quickly.
You made that transition.
I mean, the coaches and the teachers, I mean, they really care about my kids.
Yeah.
And I get that they're new to the school, but the transition could not have been smoother.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I told them, I said, this is the exact same experience I had when I was at Western Duke. So it was just nice to see that focus from the staff hasn't changed in 20 plus years, right? I mean, they still care about the kids as kids, not just their grades. And
I think it's coming up a week from, I think it's next Monday, There's an in-service thing. Anyway, Coach Danner has been, he's always full of ideas, and he just retired last year, so what's going to happen is, I think it's an in-service at the high school, no kids around, but we're going to bring in all the old retired teachers back.
Oh, okay.
And serve some kind of a lunch for the staff.
Nice.
So I'm kind of looking forward
to it. Yeah.
And so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. No, that's great, because I have appreciated everything that Western Dubuque has done for our kids.
What's your husband do?
He's in real estate. He built our house.
Did he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he has his license, so.
So you found that this was a nice, attractive location somehow? You looked around?
Well, we wanted to live in Western Dubuque. This is technically Dubuque Schools, and right. We open and enroll. But we have four kids, and I work from home. So finding a home with five bedrooms and an office in the Western Dubuque district was a challenge.
Yeah.
Now my brother lives just, 3 miles that way in the Western Dubuque schools, and we're like, well, we're gonna build here. We have, our kids are old enough, our two kids are old enough to drive, so we didn't have to worry about busing.
Okay.
We have a freshman and a junior, but then next year we're gonna have a kindergartner.
Okay.
And a preschooler. So eventually we do want to live in Western Dubuque, and I think we'll do that after our big kids are out of high school. But
okay.
It was hard to find the right house for us.
Okay.
And I think my husband was itching to build a new house anyway, so, because he built our other house in Indiana as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I've been to Indianapolis a few times. In fact, Jill, she runs half marathons, and mm-hmm. she ran one there some years ago, and
mm-hmm.
I really thought Indianapolis was nice as far as a huge city is concerned. And,
yeah, it's a nice, it's a small, big city,
yeah.
Right? You still have the amenities of professional sport teams, a nice airport, nice theaters. There's several four-year colleges there, but it's not Chicago.
Right.
Yet you're only 3 hours from Chicago, and you're an hour and a half from Cincinnati, and you're an hour and a half from Louisville.
Yeah.
So you're pretty close, 4 hours from St. Louis. So we liked it. We just didn't have the village there. My sister lives there.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Molly?
Molly lives there.
What's she doing?
She's a physical therapist.
Okay.
Yeah. She just got married in October out on the farm.
Okay.
And
that was pretty neat.
Yeah. It was, actually. They were able to dress up the old barn pretty nicely for a little reception area, but she got married out on one of the fields on top of the hill. Yeah, it was really nice.
Your dad, I came to St. Joe's High School as a coach and teacher in 64.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Loris, and so somehow we always wanted to get people to scrimmage with us. So anyway, he showed
sure.
up. He showed up.
Yeah, he loves to play.
And that's how I got to meet him.
Okay.
And so he got out of Loris, went to Holy Cross,
mm-hmm.
and so then we were coaching against one another, but we were, friends.
Yeah.
So we took a couple trips together. I wasn't married at that time, and neither was he, so we did some neat stuff, and then...
That's cool.
Then I started out as an administrator in 70 at Dyersville.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to the high school eventually, which I did, so then we connected back up.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
We've been working together for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, what are you doing profession-wise now yourself?
I work for Dell Technologies, so I'm in sales.
Okay.
I have 25 accounts in Eastern Iowa. And I'm the core rep, so Dell Technologies is made up of 7 companies, and I quarterback all the resources for those companies for my accounts.
Okay.
So I have medium.
Do you travel a bit?
Mainly in my car. I do have some outliers. I have one company that has folks in Dallas, one that is actually headquartered out of Toronto, but I cover all their U.S. stuff.
Okay.
So a little bit of travel, but not much, which is why I like it that it worked out to where one of my former managers who used to cover Indiana then got transitioned to covering Wisconsin and Iowa. And I just told him, hey, we're going to move. So if you have anything in Iowa come up, you know, let me know if you think it would be a good fit. And then that had been in October. And then a week before we moved in April of last year, I called him. I said, hey, we're really moving.
Yeah.
So, but I had an account set in Indiana that I didn't feel comfortable walking away from because it's the busy season. I have schools and universities who buy everything in April, May, and June. And I wanted to do what was right for the company. So I said, I'll commute back to Indiana, but if you have something that comes up in the summer. And he's like, well, actually, my guy just left. And it worked out that it's Eastern Iowa because I said, well, I'm going to be living in Eastern Iowa. I really don't want to have to go all the way to Sioux City or Council Bluffs all the time. So no, I don't have to go west of Ames. And so yeah, it's just worked out beautifully. So
yeah, you got all the pieces put together, Sarah.
Yeah. No, it I mean, my husband and I, we know that we're supposed to be here, and everything just was orchestrated perfectly so that we could move back here.
So a question that usually comes up, how did you meet your husband?
Oh, we met online.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was working for HP at the time, and I was traveling. I had covered three states. So I was traveling all over the place, and I just moved to Indianapolis. And I was just trying to meet people without having to go to the bar all the time. And I had just met friends on there, and then, you know, he and I met, and it just kind of went from there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what? That was, I remember, 15 years ago, when that topic came up, people would think that would be the worst thing you can imagine to do that.
Right.
Because everybody was going to a bar back then.
Yeah. So. I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I was just too busy to do, and I didn't know anybody other than the people that I was staying with.
Yeah, yeah. So. It's funny because unconnected to that, but you talked about your job. Whenever we go to, we've been going to Florida for the winter for the last 3 or 4 years. Whenever we go down there, something is going on with our family. So this time we're down there, and Becky, she's the hotel general manager, has been for some years. And she was running this hotel at La Quinta in downtown Orlando, but they were living in Cocoa Beach, which is 50 miles away, so she would have to drive every day. Well, they were in Cocoa Beach because the guy she's with is a surfer dude, and they lived right across from the beach.
Sure.
So anyway, she eventually got tired of that, and she started checking around a couple months ago, and anyways, as it turned out, she got interested in this hotel, which is at Cape Canaveral, and it's right across from where the cruise ships.
Okay, sure.
And so she checked with trying to get an interview, and she was interviewing with this one person, and so they were talking, and this person, I guess Becky said, well, where are you from? She said, well, this person, I'm from Waverly, Iowa. And so that was a good connection.
Yeah.
So she was passed on to the next person in the line of corporate. So they visit, and this guy said, well, I'm from East Dubuque, Illinois. Where are you from? So anyway, she's running a Country Inn and Suites.
Okay.
Right on A1A across from where the cruise ships go in.
So nice.
Buying a house now, so that's good stuff.
Anyway, awesome.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's exciting.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah. No, it was a pleasure going down memory lane a little bit.
You know, I had such a great visit with Mike. It was in January, so we had a good talk.
Sure.
And enjoyed that. And trying to think of if I've connected with any other 93 or 95 grads, I'd have to check through and see. But I appreciated your reflections.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no. Thanks for your time. That was fun.